Welcome to the Mindful Medicina Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanette Daniels. I'm a naturopathic medical doctor on a mission to inspire a renewed confidence in the intelligence of the human body. And joining the conversation today is my friend and colleague, Janelle Hartman, lymphatic and colon hydrotherapist, esteemed yoga teacher of teachers, and the co-producer of this show. In today's episode, we gather once again around the proverbial campfire to hear another intriguing yet buried story that we and our return guest, Dr. A.J. Morris Jr., are excited to share with you today. In his book, Wine's Nutritional Power, he chronicles the healing benefits of wine and resveratrol and how it came to pass that it would be disregarded as a food and medicine in the United States, while most other countries have included it at the top of their food pyramid. Wine is the most perfect of all foods, according to Louis Pasteur, and it is the closest known substance to blood. Hebrew history records that wine was used for covenants and daily as a water purifier. Wine was the sustaining nutrition hidden in cellars when enemy armies stole food. Florence Nightingale saved the British Army during the Crimean War when they were losing hundreds of soldiers a day from cholera, typhus, and brucellosis plagues. Desperate generals finally agreed to let her 50 nurses help. The power of her wine remedy in the water buckets will astound you. In 1938, the USDA researcher Agnes Faye Morgan discovered fermentation caused grape juice to create new vitamins, acids, and other nutritional substances. But the USDA research was stopped by regulatory agencies claiming wine was, quote-unquote, alcoholic liquor, and it was not classified as a food. This careless, mislabeled, confusing, and interchangeable use of the terms wine and liquor have caused the ignorance and rejection of wine as a fermented food product. So, if you are of legal age, please grab a glass of your favorite organic red wine and hang out with us under the stars as we learn more about this sacred and undervalued food and medicine called wine. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Mindful Medicina podcast. Today we have as a return guest, Dr. A.J. Morris Jr. We had him on last time to give us a little history on the Rockefeller Foundation and its introduction and development of big pharma as we know it. Today, we're going to go into a conversation on wine and resveratrol. There have been about 15,000 studies done on resveratrol, showing it has a range of antioxidant properties that contribute to health and longevity. And Dr. A.J. Morris Jr. knows all about the history on that too, because man, this guy's like a history buff. It's amazing. Welcome back, Dr. Morris.
Wow, I just love the way you think.
Thank you.
Are you saying get started, AJ?
Ah, press play, AJ.
Well, I mean, we can just kind of go over. I'll just give a few examples of some benefits of resveratrol, which we see in red wine. It's okay. Also in some other foods, but today we're going to focus on wine. Okay. And some of these benefits are cardiovascular and also immune modulation and mitochondrial support. So there's a lot of benefits with this medicine that is touted to be at the top of the food pyramid for every country except for our own. So you can go ahead and take it away and give us a nice history lesson on this beautiful beverage.
And that's exactly the way it is. It's accepted all over the world now, except for in the United States, because Rockefeller Foundation killed it as best they could. You can't ever stop something like that, but you can sure make a big hole in it.
Mm-hmm.
When Rockefeller Foundation got the research and started putting together what would become known as the 1100 reservoir trial tests that destroyed every disease, when they got that information, it had been actually stolen from the little gal who put it together down in East Tennessee State University. Her name was Aussie Menez, Dr. Martin Aussie Menez. And there may be a lot of people out here that know her. I've tried to find her on the web because I wanted to have conversations with her for sure to make these other make sure that these other guys that were on her board of directors didn't have the authority to get into her patent rights. And I couldn't ever find her. But if you guys find her, that was something I wanted to get into. But she's gone all these years. And I've had the question because I'm pretty expert on patent rights. And I was looking for those. Well, just 11 years after she discovered it in her board of directors meeting, guess who shows up on the board of directors someplace else touting it for themselves? The two guys that were on her board of directors meeting were Dr. Pizzuto from now Chicago University and Dr. Jang of J-A-N-G at Purdue University. They were both on her original board of review. And so that's how they got the information. And 11 years later, they come out claiming that they've had a board of review back on their own universities and discovered all this new technology. Well, they didn't discover it. And as I got back into the depth of the technology, find out that Pizzuto did, he went back to Chicago University and put on a program for which is a smart thing to do, to bring all the known technology that your family's used back in your own home countries. And so he had a student who was from Peru, and that student was the one who had brought it to him at Chicago University and said, this is something that we use all over Peru as natural medicine. Well, how about that? Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you would think that it's natural medicine, and therefore if it's natural, you can't do anything about changing patents around on it. You've got to be real careful how that works. But anyway, the fact that his countryman brought the leaves of a little bush in to Chicago University and said, this is what it looks like. Well, they took it back into the laboratories and they crushed it all up real good and they made a tea out of it that everybody could drink. And as a result of doing that, he came out saying that, hey, I've got something here that's really important, a new technology that we don't know anything about. So he called up his friend down at Purdue University now and told him, hey, I've got a student now that's bringing me the original leaves of this plant that we discovered about back in East Tennessee University. And he said, let's get on the ball and let's get it turned into a national treatment center. We'll have a bush in Peru and nobody else in the world can get into our bush. And we'll have the cash cow of the centuries. So that's where it started. And but both of them, you got to know that Chicago University is the university that everything that comes in and goes into Rockefeller University in New York City to become a new product in the world of medicine, they have to take it through this system because that's the way America's been put together by Rockefeller Foundation. So they had to go get Rockefeller Foundation behind them, and it didn't take any time at all for those two guys to get Rockefeller Foundation behind them. And Rockefeller Foundation came up and said, oh, hey, this is a great deal. You bet. If all of this can be discovered. Now, the one little thing that's different in it, by the way, is that she discovered all the different kinds of wines and how they were different that was being used as medicine all around the world. Well, that's pretty fundamental, because that's why that wine was the top of the food chain all over the world, the food pyramid, all these years. And we didn't ever get anything because we went through prohibition here in America. So now then, this little gal has actually gone to all the trouble of discovering in her research back at East Tennessee University, all the different kinds of wines that were out there and what wine would kill what diseases. And now then, these guys are taking the whole thing into Rockefeller Foundation research and claiming it all as theirs, their own research. But that's how we ended up getting the resveratrol powerhouse behind everything. Because when Rockefeller Center agreed to fund it and bring it in and run it through Rockefeller University, that was powerful. Mm-hmm. So they brought it in, ran it through the university. They had 1,100 studies that Rockefeller put out there. The world has gone berserk to show that everything Rockefeller did was true. Mm-hmm. And it was true since that time. And so the but 1,100 studies in American universities showing that this little old plant from Peru has the ability to kill every disease known to man. Now that is a high mark. Mm-hmm. Nobody reaches that mark. So that's how they got the product into the world attention for killing diseases. And yet we didn't bring it over to America in the wines. Well, that's what we thought we'd done. Now, what really happened is Rockefeller got all the approval, made all of the national reports and all the medical journals, got everybody all hyped up out here. And yes, this is really a Cadillac product. And I checked it out this last week. It is not in our American medical journals anywhere today that is authorized to be used as a medicine.
No, there are not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I've got a group of bird dogs going after it. We can't get this back out here where it belongs, legitimately. But they're going to run with it anyway, no matter what. It is so big you can't put a lid on it. Mm-hmm. And so that's the important thing we wanted to get to. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now then we've got the product. It's a good product, and the FDA has gone to the American Medical Journal, which they own, by the way, and because it's a Rockefeller Foundation medical journal. And so that's why the medical journal of the United States has never been an independent medical journal. It's always been a Rockefeller-controlled medical journal for whatever they wanted to do. So here's our little team of hound dogs going to work down there and getting all this stuff out that they know about, but that FDA has come out and started now trying to block it because they found out that this is from a product that has already been tested here in America. And we didn't get the first tests. Our 1,100 tests were not the first tests, and therefore we don't own the patents on those 1,100 tests. How about that?
Interesting. Hmm.
Yes. So Rockefeller Foundation's got the patents because they funded everything, and that's how they get control of medicine across the world, is they fund it and get it into the right places, and then they own it.
That's right.
Well, that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. So when they owned it, they had this little heart hospital from University of Connecticut come out and say, hey, FDA, I don't know where you guys have been all these years, but we've been serving wine to our heart patients and our cancer patients now for 10 years. Well, where did they get that? It was 11 years ago that this, that the original research came out from our little doctor out in East Tennessee State University. Mm-hmm. And now then the FDA is facing a different kind of an enemy. They have got a little group of research guys that are on the ball out there. And they're doing things for the hospital like they're all supposed to do, but most of them don't do it because they're controlled by FDA. But these little guys had gone to work. They had found out that, yes, we should be giving that to our patients all the time. And they were now telling FDA, we've been giving it to them for 11 years. And FDA's got to shut that down. And so they thought all they had to do was say, oh, no, you can't have done that because we didn't do our research that long ago. Well, that didn't make any difference because it was already started in one of the major American medical hospitals. So I had to go back and check and see what of the other American major medical hospitals are using this and showing up with it. And of course, I'd go to MD Anderson and Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Mayo Clinic. They're the big giants. And when I went to them the first time, they all told me, yes, we are using this as part of our medical alternative food program to all of our patients on cancer and heart conditions. Well, that's a pretty good start getting into the business world, because if you start a hound dog fight, everybody wants to come and watch it. So they've got a hound dog fight going, but it's not the kind where everybody really wants to see it. But the question is, how does MD Anderson and Mayo Clinic and Cancer Treatment Centers of America, how do they back off of it so that they can't be contaminated in whatever's getting ready to happen with the FDA? And so they've sort of backed off of it, but the last time I checked about a month ago, they're still in. But you've got to ask them about it. You can't be a patient in their hospital and know that that happens and just get it because you walk in and say, I want it, because they're kind of trying to play both sides of this and to not have their hospital contaminated with the FDA manipulations of what they're doing. Now, that's a basic line on the story. Any place that I need to go to here that I left a crack?
No. That's a great foundation. We can move forward with the background on Florence Nightingale and how she effectively stopped plagues with wine. Can you give us the background on that, the history of that?
I would love to. Little old Florence Nightingale has been badly maligned and mistreated by the British government and the British generals who were in charge of medicine. And the way it all came about, they were in the Crimean War, and at the same time as our Civil War that goes on here in America. And so they're in the Crimean War, the British are, and they've got the French on the British side, and I may be a little off on this a little bit, but it seems like the Russians on the other side may be with Turkey. And so the British are getting their tails whipped really bad. And they're dying at 300 or 400 people a day because they're dying from the anthrax, the cholera, and whatever that third one is that they have there.
That was typhus.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. But they're being wiped out by that. And Florence Nightingale's, she's got her aunt, who is a devout Catholic nun trainer, and she and her aunt I don't remember what our Aunt May's name. Maybe that's probably it. It's probably Aunt May. They got together and they said, well, let's train up a bunch of girls and take them over to the war and stop this nonsense. Because we know that we can go in there and give them wine and kill all those diseases. Well, wow. Can't believe that, can you? So here they go. They trained up 15 gals, good, solid, clean people that were going to be able to be a real influence on any hospital system they had. And they got over there, and the general told Florence Nightingale, I'm sorry, we can't let the women get into the barracks anywhere. And she came back every day for like it was almost 3 months. Florence Nightingale came back to the generals and told them, my girls are all trained. We can stop this if you let us get in here and do it. And the generals would say, no, we can't let the women have any contact with our soldiers. So that they kept knocking it down. And finally, it became such a severe problem that the orderlies that the generals had been hiring from the local public, I'm satisfied, no longer could haul out the dead bodies as fast as they were being created. So, North Florence Nightingale came in that morning, told the generals, I've got a bunch of girls ready to go. And they said, you can go and haul out the dead bodies. Okay. So she's being sent to be a mortician with all of her girls now. And so she immediately takes authority of the authority that she has, but nobody knows it yet. And the authority she has is to go in and get 2 bottles of wine and pour it into this big water bucket where that everybody's drinking the water, and it instantly kills all the bacteria of all those three diseases that are so lethal against the British Army. And the French also. The French are having the same problems, but boy, they're not going to get over there and get in war with the British generals, medical generals. So Florence Nightingale gave instructions to her girls starting day one to put 2 bottles of the wine in the buckets. And they did. Day two, they already had guys being cured of these diseases. Now, we've gone through all the history of of the fact that the doctors don't have the ability to cure people. And that became the backbone foundation of warfare between the MDs and DOs. And so when Rockefeller brought the MDs and DOs into the United States and he was going to get them all organized properly, Rockefeller came out and denied the authority to let anybody ever use the word cure. Ever notice you can't use the word cure for anything?
Yes, as a doctor, especially as a naturopathic doctor, I actually can't even say that I've cured anyone of cancer using anything but their procedures, surgery, chemo,
Right.
or radiation.
Okay, well that was the result of what she did that was so foundational. Because it's the application that you're putting together that cures everybody, but you're the one that has the sense to know what application to put in there, you and the Lord. And so they get the right applications, they put it into the wine buckets, cures all these guys, and suddenly they're sending them home, but 300 or 400 a day. And so that's kind of how that Florence Nightingale got started, but the generals, they were not ever going to let her, by golly, get in the way with real scientific technology. And so they weren't going to let her claim that she or her nurses did anything positive. And she was just a stable little old gal, as you can imagine. Never, I guess she didn't even get upset at them, enough to yell, probably. Maybe that's the right way to say it. But anyway, so she's in there doing the work with her girls, saving the guys' lives. And the generals will not even acknowledge that the lives of the guys are being saved, that are being saved right in front of them. And so,
well, they were also also the ones that were letting them die for what, 3 months before they let her in. I'm sure that there was a little, it was not a good look.
Well, so that's why if the generals are not going to support her, then the medical generals are not going to support her, then the king and the crown and all the people in the royal families are not going to support her. And they didn't. But ultimately, I think it might have been one of the queens, and I don't remember which one, finally came out and said, and gave her, we're going to let you claim that you're the authority over creating the nursing industry. And that was the last thing that they gave her, was the ability to just claim that she was the one who did that. But this was a case of where America kind of came to a little fruition, and the American nursing industry saw that they had a champion, and nobody was going to stop them. So all of our girls went to England to become British nurses and come back to America and to be the nurses here in America for saving people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whereas only the doctors can do that, right? Especially in a male-dominated field.
That's what they've said all these years. And let me share something with you. It's kind of a key way to look at it. Don't talk about curing things. Talk about accelerating the curing. You can accelerate the curing all day long, and FDA can't stop that.
Yeah. Yeah. Semantics, okay. Right?
Yes. That's all it is. Anyway, thank you guys for reaching down inside my heart and pulling this stuff out.
happy to pull at your heart, since you do the same for us.
Is there anything else you'd like for me to jump onto while we're still?
Well, I was just going to backpedal a little bit back to the wine, and what Florence Nightingale was adding to that also is the arrowroot, and that was helping with the diarrhea. So you had the wine itself being antimicrobial, and then you had the arrowroot added to it to prevent the dysentery. So it was a beautiful concoction, if you will.
Oh, bless you, darling. Thank you for not letting me forget that. Or I did forget it. Thank you for bringing it back in.
So a big shout out for herbology and
yes,
nature's medicines, right?
Yes, and you know, you go overseas, herbology controls probably about 90% of all the medicine of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in South Africa one time, and I'll never forget this little herbologist whose grandfather was the big herbologist of South Africa where we were. And he had died years before, and she's taken me through his offices and showing me all the things that she has mixed all these years. And as she's going through it and mixing it, she says, very small amount is much better than large amount.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking back in research we did at American Sign Language Corporation, and that was exactly what we found on major products like I'm satisfied that even on tramadol, thiobenzol, all of that group of things that became the backbone of the animal industry and now is the backbone of the human industry. And here's a little old group of medical products. Cypip. Mm-hmm. We turned Cypip into, oh my goodness. What's everybody using for the supposed to be the horse medicine?
Oh, ivermectin.
Ivermectin. I started that in the dog industry. And I started it to kill all the heartworms.
Right.
Do you know that we have a whole backyard of America full of heartworms in all the dogs and the canines? and they're making the big bucks for the veterinarians, and they don't even believe in the medical industry that we have any in the human industry. The medical doctors do not show anything in their heart conditions that would be a heartworm. And yet when I introduced that product, all over the southern United States, everybody had heartworms.
Wow.
And whenever they got the heartworms, they would get tired real easy. But just like all the dogs did and all the cats. If the dogs had the heartworms, they became so lazy they wouldn't even hunt behind a good duck hunter or pull a sled in Alaska. Because they were just tired all the time. And they've got really good video films on that people can look at. Anyway,
yeah.
But here we have a whole nation and the backbone right now of the veterinary industry incomes is the ivermectin, because they have modified it to treat all the horses, and everybody in the medical industry is coming out and bringing in new products that are the same product. Mm-hmm. Only difference is thiobenzol was designed for the hogs, tramadol for the cattle. Let me see. And Cypip for the dogs. Did I say that one? Well, I might have, but I might have gone across it and just skipped it. But anyway, so now then they've gone into all of the horse medicine in Texas. Thiobenzol was never made to be a horse wormer. It was made to be a pour on the horse, and you just pour a little bit, half a cup up and down the horse's back, and that kills all the stuff inside of them. Well, that's really what's happening with the people. All those old cowboys and farmers out there, they learned that, oh, yeah, all I have to do is pour an eighth of a teaspoon onto the back of my wrist out of a cattle product, and it will within 40 seconds it'll be gone. But you don't need to vaccinate it, you don't need to pour, you don't need to do any of the boluses, the water solubles, or any of the other things that they ended up doing. But now then the veterinary industry has guys all over the country manufacturing these products, totally disorganized with the medical industry.
Yeah.
The human medical industry.
Yeah. Access. Anyway. They don't want you having access to those things.
No, they don't.
You always have to demonize these things.
And the reason for it is Rockefeller didn't control it when it came in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. One last little thing I want to leave with you about the resveratrol and everything else that's useful. No, Rockefeller Foundation has now turned into Rockefeller Legion.
Mm. Wow.
I don't know if you know about that, but the Legion Castle is in Switzerland. And if you look around for it a little bit, you'll find it right there at the edge of, what am I trying to say? Brussels? No, not Brussels. Oh, what's the big city in
Zurich?
Not Zurich. That's
Sweden. Sorry.
Zurich.
Zurich,
you.
Yeah.
We had without it right. Dream, I'll never make this work. Thank you. That's where the castle is. Mm-hmm. That is the Rockefeller Castle. It is in charge of all the medical industry with vaccines today. That little castle. It's not a little castle. It's a big castle. And you gotta remember to kind of keep in mind, everywhere they ever had a castle, they ended up having a god.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, isn't that interesting?
So speaking of gods, we know that in Catholicism, there's God and then there's the doctor, right? It's like in that order,
yes.
Right? So... Could you give us a little bit of history on what the Catholics were doing with alcohol specifically and trying to sell that as an antimicrobial and how that doesn't work the way wine does and why.
Well, I think that there's a little mixing of that, but let me look at it like this. When wine was discovered in 1225, that was when that they turned wine into distilled alcohol. Okay, so you can take distilled alcohol down just the way they did when they made it for the Methodist Church, and you can set it on a pan and heat that pan a little bit, and the next thing you know, it starts boiling off out at the top, and at 170 degrees, all of the foam will be gone. Well, why? Because that's the alcohol foam. So the alcohol boils off, and all you have left now is the good nutrition of the wine before they put the alcohol in there to keep it from freezing in the winter months. And that's the only purpose for the wine in God's plan and design. Well, it's probably not the only. He's too smart for that. But it's that was the purpose behind the alcohol and the wine, is to control the alcohol that would freeze the jars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the alcohol in there keeps it from freezing.
Right. And if you take it off, you've still got all the good nutrition of the wine. And we've still got millions of people out here that they're happy to have their grandmother drink the wine without any alcohol in it because she thinks that's the only way it can be drunk. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's good to get some of that alcohol off because alcohol is a neurotoxin. So, and especially if you want to give the benefits of wine, resveratrol, to children, you can cook that alcohol off, which is really important. But in the medical field, it looks like they were more eager, and I say medical field, I'm talking Rockefellers and such. It was really encouraging for them to be able to push and sell alcohol to create that stupor and lack of power and groundedness, and then to also implement it into hospitals using it to clean things. Like, you know, when you give an IV, you wipe the vein down with an alcohol swab, which we basically say is for aesthetic purposes so the patient doesn't get nervous that you're not, quote unquote, mm-hmm. cleaning it. So it's like, you know, the alcohol isn't really all that beneficial as far as cleaning goes, but there was so much in the profit to push alcohol, period, be it that you're using it for cleaning and or you're using it to create stupor in people. And, you know, the prohibition thing, I think, was a psyop, really. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like so that people will fight for something you're taking away from them. They actually want you to have the alcohol. I think that was a psyop.
Yeah, it created like a scarcity and a demand for it. And then that you can turn around, and the, when prohibition ends, it turns to exploitation. And then you have to kind of like let the hand feed it to you on its terms. And it's just all control.
But the bottom line is that there a whole new technology was created, and certainly youthful technology, family technologies here in America, where that they give their kids enough. They have four or five different drinks that they give the kids to knock them out, mm-hmm. Formula, Coca-Cola formulas, and what am I trying to say? The one with Vicks formula.
Oh, Benadryl or
Dimetab.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vicks formula 44. Mm-hmm. Vicks formula 44 has 12% alcohol in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
and
a lot.
It's designed specifically for the children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. and so we did never get that one into the relationship at which should have been. But it's close. They could probably put it into a pan of water and heat the alcohol right out of it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you girls are fun.
Hey, AJ, let us go a little bit into the French paradox, because This is right. What, you know, researchers, they came upon this scenario where the French were consuming so much saturated fat and mm-hmm. that they had impeccable cardiovascular health. And ultimately, the research was showing that they were associating it with the polyphenols in the wine, in the casual steady stream of wine into the diet, as it was also seen in the Mediterranean diet. So do you have any thoughts on the French paradox?
Well, you actually jumped right across the big part of it right there at the end. The Mediterranean diet has that in their diet plan. Mm-hmm. And it's available for all the people out there on the Mediterranean diet. When the French paradox started, I think it was World War I, and the Germans locked off all the transportation systems to that one little old town. And they thought that when they came back after the war was over, that all those people would be dead. Well, my goodness, they were thriving better than the people who were on the outside. And in the end, probably Rockefeller's people discovered the wine was the one that had saved all the people because it was, and it's not, when you're talking about that, it's not the wine of the 10% that's in the formulation to keep the wine from freezing. The things that's saving the people is the original, and I'm not saying that right, I don't think. I think it's God's wine that's saving the wine. Okay. It's God's plan to save that wine. And he did. But the wine also has other characteristics mixed in with it. And I'm thinking that all the nutrition that was in the wine is what really caused the wine to save so many people's lives. Mm-hmm. That was kind of awkward, wasn't it?
Well, that's okay. We'll get there. We see that it is what's most studied about wine is the resveratrol as an antioxidant. And so mm-hmm. Even I was listening to the Huberman podcast the other day, and he was talking about, you know, the argument around resveratrol. Is it anti-aging? Does it extend life, et cetera, et cetera? And of course, he was poo-pooing it because he mm-hmm. is a part of that whole, his alliance is to the powers that be. And if you look in the literature, like you were saying, all the PubMed articles, all the peer-reviewed articles, everybody wants to, do you have any research on that? It's like, well, who owns the research? Like 80% of the research online, I don't care if you go to Google Scholar, is owned by the industry and the Rockefeller family. And so, yeah, so it's like finding truth, you know, it's like don't even bother with a peer-reviewed article or PubMed because it's not they're not incentivized to give you the actual true results, by the way, though they have them and they use that, okay? It is not for you to know and not for you to use to heal with, you know? So, mm-hmm. yeah. So...
Well, one of the things that we can do whenever they throw that one at us, we can say, well, if you really want to go where that the people in the world drink wine all the time, they will be the people who the wine is the top of their food pyramid.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was put there by God. It was not put there by a bunch of men.
Well, what we can definitely speak to is how the wine is, and I like to take things in a whole, not in parts. So as opposed to saying resveratrol does this, the reason they actually try to pull out the active ingredients, what they term the active ingredient, is so that they can patent it and sell it because you can't patent nature. So they're going to try to sell you resveratrol and not the wine, okay? Because as a whole, that, like you said, that's God's creation. That's not the lab's creation.
Yes.
So leaning into grapes, wine, okay? What we find is that it fights free radicals, supports healthy cellular growth, and it also goes across the blood-brain barrier, so it could directly have a positive impact on cognitive function. You know, of course, don't drink and drive, of course, but basically, you're looking at the wine as being antioxidative, and so anytime you have an oxidative condition, it's going to have an effect on mitochondrial function, and we know that controls cellular function and energy for every tissue and for every function in the body. So if we can target and support mitochondrial function downstream, you are supporting every system in the body, including tissue regeneration. It's also anti-inflammatory as a result.
Let me add a little bit here. I think I do have a bit of knowledge that's useful. In 1898 is when those three American doctors got the Nobel Prize for discovering the nitric oxide trigger.
That's right.
When they discovered the nitric oxide trigger, all three of them got the original Nobel Prize. One of them was picked up by Texas A&M immediately, and they made him the head of the research division, the dean of the pharmacy division. SUNY New York picked up one of the other ones and made him the dean of SUNY. But the last guy, he was also an MD, and he said, "Hey, I've already got all the certifications I need with the Nobel Committee. I don't need to fool around with these guys in the United States." And so he went out and he put together an agreement with Herbalife. And they started making a little pill that was about an inch and a quarter long, a little black pill. And I think they called it Nightlife. And he started selling those pills. Herbalife became the giant of all of the multi-level marketing companies out there overnight. Anyway, and then along comes FDA and says, "Oh, hey, Herbalife, I'm sorry you guys have done all this heavy work and all the heavy lifting, but now that I've got universities ready to take up all the weight, and I don't need you anymore." So he shut off all the work that the doctor was doing with Herbalife, closed Herbalife down. I don't know how many months it was, but it was several. But I remember watching that war pretty close as it came down the pike. And Zuckerberg, he might be the name of the guy who owned Herbalife at that time, but he was thoroughly chastised. FDA closed down all of his medical systems, and it took at least a year before he ever got back to making anything ever again. And he was not making the nitric oxide pills. But if you go look at the research in the major hospitals today, there's all the nitric oxide research coming right through their own pharmacies.
Yeah, because they've patented something that offers you that vasodilatory effect without it being nature. And that's really what pharma does, is they take nature and they tweak it so they can own it. And they learn from nature, as they should. But what they do is they manipulate it, control it, and charge.
There was another little scenario part of that was really dynamic to me. And that was the part about, if you go through your biblical history, everywhere you go, here's all these old biblical guys talking about how joyous and happy they are all the time. Well, where does that come from? That comes from the nitric oxide trigger.
Yeah.
And we did not envision that that's what was going to be happening with the original nitric oxide trigger. But that is what's happened. And that is why the hospitals are using nitric oxide in everything now. Yeah. To try to create joy in the patients. And if they can create joy in the patients, they'll have a patient that heals fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then enter in Viagra. Yeah.
Pfizer's made a ton off of that.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. All this vasodilatory benefits, yeah. Yeah, of course. But that's okay to use. But, you know, heaven forbid there's any literature on the healing benefits and the nitric oxide content and effects of wine, right? Yeah.
It's my suspicion that one of the main reasons that the Chinese government got behind, the Chinese government had agreed with the World Health Organization, which was the Rockefeller company. Mm-hmm. And they were behind the World Health Organization that they should let all their people have this product because mm-hmm. it was causing when they had the one child families, the one child family ended up being a total disenfranchisement with the people and the government mm-hmm. in China. And I have been in hospitals in China where I didn't know what was happening. Here, some husband's grabbed his wife and he's dragging her out of the hospital because she's had a baby girl.
Yeah.
And I asked the lady in charge, I'd say, well, how many of those baby girls do you guys destroy every day? Wow. She said about 2,000.
Just devastating.
Oh, and they harvest the organs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now then they're back into the business, though. They can have two children.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And so that was a big change for the Chinese government. They could now have two children, and they don't have to destroy the baby girls anymore. But an interesting thing that was working out in China, and I was in there in China for about 2 years, doing some stuff, research stuff, engineering research stuff. And during those 2 years, I want you to know they had havoc going on all up and down the social structures of China. And because the senior citizens, whenever they got ready to retire from their company at 55, they could go out and retire if they had a child that lived on the farm or in the place where that they would go. But if they didn't, the eldest son is the only one that can accept his father and mother into retirement. So they had a real discord in trying to make the one child families work. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah. We certainly don't want to become a commie country, which is what we're seeing after COVID.
You know, that it might get even worse because of that. But I'm a Navy JAG, you know, mm-hmm. and because I'm a Navy JAG, I don't have any hesitation at all in killing somebody that's been killing a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I would sit on that court any day, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but I wouldn't be doing anything without a real provocation.
Right.
But when those people are willing to do that kind of stuff, they do not need to be a part of this society. And I think that God will figure out a way to take care of them if we don't. Yeah. But hope he does.
I always feel the good prevails. I believe yes. in that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to expose the dark, right?
And so, we're the ones to do it.
So going
we
back.
Are, mm-hmm. We are a part of a three-party team, and we are the executioner of that team. Anyway, that's the way I look at it.
We could tell you're a military.
You could.
So yeah, I wanted to go back to the benefits of nitric oxide, and I have to always plug the sun, is that our original source of nitric oxide is the sun. And we know that the grapes are growing under the heat and the light and the photonic effect of the sun. So really, if you couldn't get access to, if you weren't going to drink wine, for example, and you wanted a nitric oxide hit, the basking in the sun is the way to do that. But I wanted to note the benefits on a cardiovascular front. So the nitric oxide is what I'm talking about. So with this nitric oxide content in the wine, in the red wine, we'll say, this is not white wine here.
Okay. Resveratrol acid.
That's right. So this is going to be about 4 to 5 ounces of wine a day will increase your blood flow. So increasing blood flow, so if you're having any stagnation, it'll also lower your risk for ischemic cardiovascular disease, so basically low oxygen levels. It'll also help with coronary artery disease. And
keep going, girl. I applaud coming.
Yes, yes, yes. And so we're going to also decrease inflammation, atherosclerosis, and improve the lipid panel, the lipid metabolism. So endothelial function, which is basically that the veins and the arteries within the heart are going to have protection from inflammation, which we know is the first step in cardiovascular disease or atherosclerosis. So all it takes, 4 to 5 ounces per day of red wine is all you need. And you can find wines that have a lower alcohol concentration. So
you can make it whatever you want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in the stores, you're going to find about 14%. There is a company I found called Dry Farms Wines.
I will tell you, their wines are delicious.
Oh, there we go.
Them by the case.
I've heard of it. I'm not familiar.
Let me tell you, these guys, they use they're organic, vegan, completely sugar-free, low alcohol. So their alcohol content is between 9% and 12%, and they naturally have lower sulfites, which is good because there are some people who have a sulfite sensitivity and get headaches. That would be me.
I'm one of those.
Yep. And so they really try to, you know, you have to have a little bit of sulfite in there to preserve it and keep it from going bad. But you can find the lower concentrations in their wines. And I don't have any affiliation with Dry Farms Wines, but when I was looking that up, it seemed that they really were focused on having the most clean grape skins, meaning growing it naturally with the proper yeast. And so there's a whole relationship with the, you know how the skin is white?
Mm-hmm. Has the bloom on it.
Yeah, yes.
The yeast that it's attracted to.
So when we make the wine, when we're doing wine and we're taking these things to the labs and such, you know, that natural yeast breaks down pretty easily. So if you get something that's not organic, then you end up having this yeast that's more stable and it can last longer. And that's what the other wines love, you know, these companies love, is that they're just going to last longer. But it also doesn't have the same health benefits as far as pH goes as well, because you really do want to have that natural white yeast activity occurring on the skin.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You know, the main reason of having that much yeast into the containers is it, and I imagine that Gallo on the West Coast is the one that's the biggest user of all of the yeast the sulfur that they come out with. They're the biggest user because they've got more green grapes in their region that they're mixing in with all of their other grapes for the Gallo wine vats. Mm-hmm. And they make contracts with all these people all across the nation, not just us, to Bring all these grapes in, throw them in the big vat. They are all going to start fermenting right then. And the only way that you can stop them from fermenting is putting the yeast in there.
Mm-hmm.
And all these wine masters, boy, they know just exactly how much to put in to stop the big vat from fermenting. And then once they've stopped it from fermenting, then they can carry it all winter long and half of the year next year if they need it, making the wine that they have made the most money off of, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the main thing they're trying to do. But if you go overseas, there are a lot of different countries overseas. And in fact, we get wines here in the U.S. that are bottled in the U.S. that has to have contained sulfites on the bottle.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Yep. If it's above 10 parts per million, it requires labeling.
But if they go overseas, that would be considered a contaminated wine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of the major cities would not let it be approved as a wine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the technology behind where the fermentation gets in its place. Anyway, if you know a local winery, mm-hmm, in this part of the country, that and you go out to that little local winery and you check with them, you will very often find they don't have any yeast requirement on their bottles.
Hmm. Wow. I remember when I used to be a bartender at a bar called Nietzsche's in Buffalo, New York. Big shout out to Nietzsche's. the owner, he loved making wine every year. And one year I joined him and staff, and we went down into his basement, took our shoes off, and just stepped on grapes for hours. Yes. And then we let it ferment, no et cetera. Kidding. And then we met up for a party to drink said wine that we've made. And it was really gross. why I'm plugging that is the art of making wine is that's medicine work. That's alchemy.
It is.
Because you can't just step on grapes and call it wine. There's a whole process, right, and an art to it.
You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
I had my wife take off her shoes and walk on the grapes.
Mm-hmm.
When I was first getting involved with the wine industry. And we are the distributors of the elderberry wines in the state of Arkansas. I don't know if you know that,
we did not.
I want some.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that makes us the largest distributors in America of the elderberry wines.
Wow.
But as a result of doing that, I made a really good wine. No. Glenda Sue's feet made a really good wine.
Wow. Is that why you kiss her feet?
No, that wasn't why. But whenever I did all the work of getting the grapes in there and getting them in, and she started stomping the grapes in this big tub that she had, and she complained about every time that she hit the bottom of the tub because the stems hurt the bottom of her feet.
Yes. Oh. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Poor thing.
Aww.
But boy, was that wine good.
Ooh. Interesting. I know. I need to just find some wine that doesn't have all the... I'm going to try this company, Janelle.
Dry Farms is good. That leads me to a question. I'm thinking about, my mother, she's going to be coming to stay and care for me in a little while. And she has a condition with her heart and she can't have alcohol. But I want her to have the benefits of the wine. So can you give instructions on how to cook it?
Mm-hmm.
So I can maybe get some good quality wine. I tend to look for wines from other countries, unless it's from a place like Dry Farms or, you know, or like you, you know, just to, and it sounds like that's not always a safe bet. You've said other nations, but I try to find like small wineries in like France or Italy or whatever. But anyway, if I can get some good wine, how do I cook it so that I can give it to my mother, mm-hmm, so she can get those benefits?
Yeah, cook that alcohol off. Yeah, how do we do
that? I've never checked this, but the guys that sell wines to the Methodist Church, that wine for communion wine is called Methodist Church Communion Wine.
Mm-hmm.
And It has already had the very thing that you're asking about
okay.
done with it.
Okay. I bet now, if I looked I that up, it would give the instructions. If I just looked up like sure. Methodist church yeah. wine recipe.
go to the Methodist church, and whenever they put together that wine in the beginning, Louis Pasteur was the one who discovered how to do it. And then along comes Dr. So-and-so, who's a dentist, and he puts together the wine by just putting it in the container and boiling it to make sure he's got all the alcohol out of it.
Okay. I had one more question. You were talking about this bush in Peru. Is it related to like Japanese knotweed, which I know is probably the other source of...
I'll bet it is, because uh-huh. I know when I did the research on it, I found four different bushes in South America, mm. and almost all of them were in Brazil. Mm-hmm. But they were all the exact same bush, mm-hmm. but they just had a different name in a different country.
Right. From what I understand, it's the root and the stock of the knotweed that is like really the one of the highest sources of the resveratrol. And so I thought maybe there's a family of plants that kind of have that, and they grow in these hotter.
You're right on it, and it seems to me like that there might have been three or four other bushes, mm-hmm. but I wasn't trying to list all the bushes. I was just trying to make sure that there's more than just one kind of a way to get into that. Mm-hmm. But when I discovered that all of your the grapes that you go down to the grocery store and buy, the jellies, mm-hmm. Welch's,
right? Yeah,
Welch's. He is the largest manufacturer of grape juice in America.
Oh yeah, I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm. But the reason he is was because immediately after they discovered that they could just boil off the alcohol and have a good technology. You don't need to cook those anymore. Once you've boiled off the alcohol, you're ready to give it to the church.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah. And I'll bet you that the church, if you've got a Methodist church, I bet you they would tell you, oh, yeah, here's a couple of free bottles, darling. You just take it home and see whether you like it or not.
Hey, AJ, how can people get and find your elderberry wine?
It's all over California.
Maybe narrow
it's
it
all
down.
Over, it's all over the mid-states. We have, around where we live here in the state of Arkansas, we must have 40 distributors of liquors that all distribute that wine.
And what is the name?
Mm-hmm. Elderberry.
Your brand
What's
name?
What's the company?
Wildwood Cellars.
Wildwood Cellars.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
And they have a sweet one, semi-sweet, semi-dry, dry, ultra-dry, the bee killer. The bee killer's got jalapeno peppers in it.
Wow.
Jalapeno peppers will ferment.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. And if you like jalapeno peppers, I can tell you, you can make it so hot today. Jeez. You will know for sure you had some when you got through.
You're like, gosh. Oh my gosh, the bees are gone.
Okay. But that one is probably one of the major wines of this day, because mm-hmm. it's just been a major impact mm-hmm. on. We just got back from a big wine activity because we do it every year, because all the money is donated to this children's fund. Huh. And it's down in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. But it's people just love that wine.
And tell us about
But it's hot. Though, okay. If you get a wine that's too hot on something like that, put a little sugar in your mouth. Spit it out. just swish it around a time or two and spit it out. Don't try to swallow it.
Tricks of the trade. Thank you, AJ.
You bet. Yeah.
And
you
tell,
bet.
And your book. The title of your book.
Wine's Nutritional Power.
Wine's Nutritional Power.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Awesome. So if any of you want more information on wine and the history of wine, you could definitely get access to his book, and we'll put it in the show notes. And AJ, Dr. Morris, thank you so much for giving us a little history lesson on wine and the powers of resveratrol. It's been such a blast to have you on again, and we'll be interviewing you for a third one, and we'll talk about managing pH in the body with baking soda and how that heals and, dare we say, cures anything. So we look forward to that.
I will tell you, I would love to see people like yourself get in total control of this business of accelerates curing.
Yes, let's start coining that.
We could do that. We could make that become an American breakdown.
Ooh, I like
of
it.
Of what they've been trying to do all these years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're gonna
I'd love
that.
To see it happen, because that would take authority away from Rockefellers.
And that is definitely the take home. We want to take away their power and empower you. So thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Dr. Morris, until next time.
Thanks, AJ.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We hope this conversation has empowered you. Remember, you are unique and you are a miracle. Your body doesn't make mistakes. It responds perfectly to an imperfect environment. Until next time, go get that life.